He always thought she was just a little adventurous in bed, not dangerous, not depraved, not capable of building an empire built on secrets and sex. Ryan Masters believed his wife Michelle was out with her yoga group on Tuesday nights, but she wasn't stretching in a studio. She was hosting a private sex club for elite women who paid thousands to dominate anonymous men in masked encounters. Some of those men were their own husbands, some didn't even know. The basement of an upscale art gallery served as the front. The back, red-lit rooms, discretion agreements, contracts of silence, and rules. Never remove the mask, never say your name, and never ever fall in love. But when Ryan receives an anonymous envelope with photos of his wife mid-act, not as a participant, but as the ringmaster, the illusion of his marriage shatters, and he spirals into a labyrinth of voyeurism, revenge, and power he never knew existed. What happens when the man who thought he had it all realizes he was nothing but a pawn? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Masked Truth. Ryan Masters always believed in routine, morning jog, black coffee, no sugar, a kiss on the cheek from Michelle before she left for yoga. He liked order, structure, trust. But trust is just the name we give to things we don't want to question. The first crack appeared on a rainy Tuesday. Michelle's phone buzzed while she was in the shower. Ryan wasn't nosy. He never had reason to be. But something about the name on the screen made his gut twist. Jade E. A name he didn't recognize, paired with a message that read, "Tonight's lineup is confirmed. Three new husbands. Your VIP will be thrilled." Ryan stared at the screen, blinked twice. Was this some sort of joke? A misfire? When Michelle emerged, towel wrapped around her like silk armor, he casually asked, "Everything good for yoga tonight?" Her response was perfect. Too perfect. A smile, a nod, a light laugh. "Yeah, same old stretches, nothing exciting." That was the moment Ryan knew something was wrong. By Friday, the envelope arrived. No return address, just his name. Inside, a series of photographs. Michelle, in a red velvet robe, standing in what looked like a candlelit basement. She wasn't alone. In one photo, she held a riding crop. In another, she whispered into the ear of a man in a leather mask. Ryan's hands shook. He sat in silence, staring at the photos, unsure whether to vomit or scream. The captions, handwritten in red ink, chilled him more than the images themselves. "She doesn't just cheat, she profits. Some masks belong to your friends. Curious. Come see for yourself." An address followed. No time. No explanation. He waited until the following Tuesday. The building was disguised as an art gallery, upscale, minimalist, the kind of place where people whispered instead of speaking. A gallery assistant with a sharp bob haircut barely glanced at him when he walked in, then said, "Through the back, don't speak." Confused, Ryan followed her down a long hallway to an unmarked door. Behind it, velvet darkness. A staircase descended like a secret. At the bottom, a world bloomed. Low red lights, soft music, laughter behind silk curtains. A masked woman passed him, wearing nothing but stilettos and a gold collar. He recognized her voice. It was Michelle. She was leading a group of masked women, each in lingerie, each holding a tablet or clipboard. Michelle's tone was crisp, commanding. "Number 12 is strictly oral tonight. He's got vocal training tomorrow. Number 7, full access. He's new, but he's paid double, so give him a memory." Ryan's heart thundered. He stepped back, into the shadows, unnoticed. What the hell was this? A tall man in a suit brushed past him, adjusted his own mask, and walked through a curtain where muffled groans echoed from within. Ryan followed slowly, until he reached a glass observation panel, hidden behind a wall. What he saw changed him. Three rooms, visible through soundproofed glass. In one, a man was tied to a chair, blindfolded, while two women laughed and fed him pieces of fruit between spanking him. In another, a masked couple engaged in something more violent. But the third room, room C, was where Michelle stood, her robe discarded, her body pressed against a man Ryan recognized. It was Mark, his boss. Ryan gasped, stepped backward, hitting the wall. What kind of wife does this? What kind of world had she built? Without him? He fled, ran up the stairs, into the night air. His breath came in jagged bursts. Questions swarmed. How long had this been happening? Who else knew? Why didn't he see it? And why was he aroused? That question haunted him more than the rest. The confrontation didn't happen right away. For days, Ryan drifted. He'd lie awake, replaying the images, hearing her voice. At work, he couldn't look Mark in the eye. At home, Michelle moved through routines flawlessly, making dinner, folding laundry, humming while she watered her orchids. He began following her. One night, she left early. He tailed her from a distance, parking down the street from the gallery. She never looked over her shoulder. She knew she was untouchable. He didn't enter again. Not yet. But he started researching. Every Tuesday night, cars pulled into the private lot. Luxury vehicles, black SUVs, drivers who waited outside with engines running. It wasn't just sex. This was business. Ryan began compiling a list of license plates, then faces, then names, politicians, bankers. A high-end therapist he and Michelle once saw during a rough patch. He had stumbled into a secret economy, one run not by perversion, but by power. Then came the second envelope. It arrived a week after he started watching. Inside, a video, grainy but clear. Michelle, on a bed. A man tied up. Her voice again. You belong to us now. You'll come when we say. You'll leave when we're done. The timestamp. 5 years ago, Ryan realized this wasn't new. It predated their marriage. Michelle had always been like this. And she had chosen him to be her cover. He started noticing things. The way she never flinched at scandalous news stories. How she avoided his friends. Her disinterest in traditional intimacy. It wasn't that she lacked passion. It's that she got it elsewhere. He installed a hidden mic in her car. The next day, he heard her speaking to someone named Jade again. He's getting suspicious. Might be time to let him watch. Some men only understand control when they lose it. Ryan crushed the earbuds in his palm. He confronted her that night, but not with yelling. Just a question. Michelle, if I wanted to see what you really do on Tuesdays, would you let me? She stared at him. For a moment, he thought she'd deny it. Play dumb. Cry. Instead, she smiled, slow and sultry. I thought you'd never ask. The next Tuesday, she handed him a mask. Room C, midnight. Be clean. Be silent. No names. No limits. As she walked away, Ryan felt a heat rise in his chest. This wasn't love anymore. This wasn't even marriage. This was a game. And he was finally invited in. But he didn't know the rules. Or the cost of breaking them. And somewhere deep inside, he feared one thing more than betrayal. He feared that he liked it. Chapter 2. The Club Fights Back. Ryan Masters entered Room C like a man walking into a crime scene he helped stage. The air was warm, perfumed with jasmine and sweat. A red glow pulsed from a ceiling strip like a heartbeat. In the center of the room stood a bed, wide, low to the ground, surrounded by heavy curtains. Michelle waited, masked, her body framed by silk shadows. You came, she said. Not a question. A statement. I need to know, Ryan said. Everything. Michelle's mask was black lace, ornate, unapologetic. She handed him a glass of wine and motioned for him to sit. You'll watch tonight, she said. That's the rule for newcomers. You want the truth? Don't blink. The ritual began. Three women entered. Older, powerful, gleaming with confidence. Michelle introduced them only as Diana, Sable, and Mara. Ryan watched through the sheer curtain as a man was led in, blindfolded, cuffed. No names, no safe words, no hesitation. They took turns with him, not violently, but clinically, sensually, like surgeons operating on desire. One read aloud from a contract the man had signed. Tonight you relinquish name, power, past. You are no longer a husband, You are only property. Ryan felt himself harden and hated it. Michelle turned to him. You're watching because one day soon, someone will be watching you. The night blurred into a strange kaleidoscope of domination, obedience, and quiet moans behind silk. When it was over, Michelle kissed Ryan's temple and whispered, Now you understand. Now you belong. But Ryan didn't sleep. He sat in his office the next morning, shaking. His world was unraveling, but a darker part of him was awakening. He should have been angry, should have called a divorce lawyer. Instead, he created a folder, a dossier, on everyone. Names, faces, timestamps, videos. He wanted leverage, not to stop Michelle, but to control her. He wasn't going to destroy the club, he was going to take it. The mistake came 2 weeks later. Ryan uploaded a single video file onto a private cloud account, labeled it insurance, password protected. But someone was already watching. Jade, Michelle's second in command, sharp, British, blonde with ice-cold logic. She cornered Ryan at a cafe the next day. Accidents happen to men who play with things they don't understand, she said, slipping a flash drive into his coat. This has footage of you from room C. Your face, your reaction. Try anything, and that file becomes your resume. Then she smiled. I told her not to let you in. Michelle was waiting when he got home. She wasn't angry. She was amused. You're not the first husband who thought he could outmaneuver the matriarchs, she said, pouring herself a glass of scotch. But you're the first one stupid enough to try blackmail after being filmed. Ryan clenched his jaw. I just want honesty. Michelle laughed. You want control. You think love is something earned through power. But this club isn't about sex. It's about freedom. And freedom scares men like you. The spiral began. At work, Ryan was paranoid. Convinced that Mark knew, convinced that other colleagues had masks stashed in glove compartments, he noticed glances, heard snickers in meetings that didn't exist before. He checked the flash drive. The footage was real. He was on camera, aroused, whispering more, as Michelle whispered, Good boy. It was blackmail-grade material, and it had already been sent to someone, his sister. A note arrived in his inbox the next day. Try that again, and the next one goes to your mother. Ryan cracked. He stopped going to work, stopped eating. He stayed in bed with the lights off, listening to Michelle come and go like a ghost. But she was no ghost. She was the architect of a world where he no longer had any say. Then came the final blow, a letter from Michelle. Dear Ryan, you were never meant to be a member. You were meant to be my mask. Every great club needs a believable front, a husband with a good job, clean background. You weren't chosen for love. You were chosen for optics. But somewhere, along the way, you mistook tolerance for devotion. You thought being faithful earned you access. That's not how it works. Tonight, we vote about you. There are three outcomes. You disappear. You're bought. You perform. I hope you pick the third. M. He didn't answer, but he showed up. In room C, dressed in all black, mask on. He wasn't there to perform. He was there to record. He'd wired himself with a hidden camera, lens pinned between buttons. He had nothing left to lose, and if he was going to burn, he wanted to take the whole system with him. Michelle met him at the door. You sure you're ready? She asked. Born ready, he said. Flat. Cold. Inside, the club was louder than usual. Laughter echoed from the walls. The women were drunk on power and champagne. Tonight was different. They were initiating him. He was paraded through the rooms, asked to kneel, asked to beg, all recorded, all documented. Then Michelle took him aside. I know, she said quietly. He froze. I knew the second you entered the room wearing your work shoes. You've never belonged here. She pulled a remote from her pocket, hit a button. The lights shifted. The cameras, her cameras, lit up. Ryan was no longer the observer. He was the exhibit. His footage, deleted remotely. His recordings? Jammed. But her footage? Live streamed. Not to the public, but to a private forum, where wealthy women bid on humiliation. Tonight's auction prize? Ryan Masters. He tried to leave. Michelle stopped him with a whisper. If you walk now, you become every man who couldn't handle the truth. Every man who thought his power was real. Until it wasn't. The women surrounded him, not violently, with curiosity. Let him choose, Michelle said. Leave, and he never returns. Stay, and he becomes something. Useful. Ryan stayed. He doesn't talk much anymore. Doesn't need to. Michelle brings him to events as her silent partner. People assume he's in on the game. They don't know he is the game. He doesn't work anymore. He's owned. But in owning him, Michelle made a mistake. She gave him access. Access to the books, the names, the schedules, the blind spots. And in silence, he waits. Not for love. Not for freedom. For revenge. Because the only thing more dangerous than a man betrayed is a man who learns.
How to play the game better than the women who invented it.